fellow.
Yes, sir.
This is Uncle Pastor. Give me one of the old hymns of the church. What about Jesus Keep Me Near the Cross? Acapella. What kind of music? Just Jesus Keep Me Near the Cross. Church, just join in and sing me two verses of that.
Jesus Keep Me
God, we thank you for your saving grace.
Thank you, Lord.
I ask, oh Father God, that you allow me right now to decipher and break down your word for your people.
Yes,
in the name of Jesus.
So they can have a clarity of understanding.
Yes.
Draw back the draperies of mystery.
Thank you.
Make your word plain enough so that a child can understand.
Thank you, Lord.
And Father God, most of all, anoint every mind and seat in this place.
Yes,
in the name
Jesus.
Of
Father God, so that your word falls on good ground.
Yes, Lord.
So that we cultivated, Father God, so that we will not sin against you.
Yes, Lord.
Right now, in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Mind Satan, oh Father God.
Yes.
As you try to snatch the word of knowledge away from your people.
Yes,
Father God, equip your people. Let your word be just like a two-edged sword.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, let it go in, cut and come out, cut
and
Father, reprove, strengthen us.
Yes.
Through your word right now. And whatever's accomplished in this setting, oh Father God, we'll be careful to give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. Speak, Lord, for your people.
Speak, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Jeremiah chapter 18. This is a familiar text. For us Bible readers, we have heard it before. God has convinced me that there's some fresh water in this old well.
Well.
All right. Jeremiah chapter 18, beginning at the first verse. This is the word that came to Jeremiah. I'm reading to you from the New King James Version. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him.
All right.
Then the word of the Lord came to me. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in my hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. I'm going to put a tag on this text just for a short while to speak into your hearing. Why God won't let go.
All right.
Thank you. Take your press the blow. Why God won't let go.
Yes.
Why God won't let go. As I have found out personally, and some of you have experienced, and others of you have heard of, we have been experiencing and are in the midst of an unprecedented epidemic of influenza. Well, so you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm talking about the flu. As y'all know, more of us are contracting the flu, calling off from work, dealing with fevers, sore throats, congestion, buying NyQuil, vapor rubs, and then whatever home remedy you may be using. I was watching on the news, y'all, and they were speaking about the spreading of the flu in different states around the nation.
All right.
They begin to talk about ways you can help keep yourself healthy this flu season. Believe it or not, getting the flu shot is not the number one way of preventing the flu.
Right.
Yes.
There are those that still debate if that is the correct way to fight the flu. But the number one recommendation, cuz, of all those who deal with the flu is you must wash your hands.
Right.
It is critically important that you wash your hands to prevent the spread of germs.
Yes.
I went to my doctor, as I occasionally do, I often do. And she asked me, what was my job? I replied, I have several. All which require that I closely interact with people.
All right.
I'm a people person.
Yes.
I like being, greeting, meeting, and getting in close quarters with people. Now, if you have ever seen somebody extend a dirty hand, there's something unpleasant about a dirty hand.
Yes.
There's something that is unappealing about someone whose nails are dirty.
Come on now.
Look at y'all, looking at y'all hands.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm the only one in here that feels the same way.
Yeah.
But it's something repulsive about a person with dirty hands.
Yes.
Right.
The irony of it is, the irony of walking with God is you're walking with a God whose hands are always dirty. Some of you may be upset because your theology can't handle that. But you only have a pristine, a holy image of God. So allow me to argue my case that God's hands are always dirty. That is what God shows Jeremiah down at the potter's house. To understand what goes on in Jeremiah, you have to know the context of the people of Israel at that time. For those of you that are Bible readers, you know after David comes Solomon. And after Solomon comes Rehoboam. Rehoboam is responsible for the division of the nation of Israel.
Right.
As a matter of fact, under Rehoboam's leadership, 10 tribes succeed from the nation and from the northern country called Israel, whose capital is Samaria.
Yes.
Yes.
Two tribes form the southern region called Judah,
yes,
whose capital is Jerusalem. So after Rehoboam, there are literally two nations, Israel and Judah.
Yes.
Israel is led by a succession of kings. Y'all with me?
Yes.
That the Bible said they were more wicked than their predecessor. Hmm. These kings subsequently led the people away from God.
Yes.
As a result, in 730 BC, God allows the Assyrian army to conquer the northern tribes called Israel.
Yeah.
But the south, because, is ruled by the lineage and blood heritage of David.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
The king on the throne is still one who bears David's bloodline.
Yeah.
And because of God's promise, what happens in Israel in the north does not happen to Judah in the south.
Right.
Assyria cannot conquer Judah because
yeah,
David's bloodline. Help me, somebody.
Yeah.
Fast forward 200 years. The winds of disobedience that caused Israel to lose to Assyria has now blown swiftly into Judah.
Mm-hmm.
The people have rebelled against God.
Yeah.
Disobedience runs the land. And the Bible says every man was doing what was right in his own mind.
Oh,
as a result, in order to prevent them from the same destruction that Israel suffered at the hands of the Syrians, God begins to send prophets to Judah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
With a word that was not popular or welcomed. One of those prophets was a brother by the name of Jeremiah.
Yes.
Jeremiah's prophecy was not like prophecy you see on television. Jeremiah did not promise that blessings was on the way. Jeremiah did not show up and say, if you sow a seed offering, the Lord will handle all your needs. Jeremiah showed up, and this is what the prophets of Jeremiah said.
Yes.
God is growing weary of you.
Yes.
Either get right, or it's going to go real wrong real quick.
Wow.
Clean up, or the Lord is going to take some swift action.
Yes.
Get your house in order,
yeah,
or the Lord is going to discipline you.
Yes.
The Bible says when Jeremiah gives this prophecy, and it was not received well, there were those, of course, who heard Jeremiah's prophecy and argued that what he had asked them to do was a hopeless because they had been doing wrong so long and messed up so badly and fallen so short of the will of God that they had reached a point that there was no possibility of change. Can I pause right here parenthetically, Deacon Fellow?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That is what the enemy does when you find yourself in repeat patterns of sin.
Yes, yes.
Repeat patterns of sin.
Yeah, yeah.
When you find yourself struggling with the same thing time and time again.
Yes.
The enemy creeps into your mind and convinces you that there's no way for you to change the habit that you have formed.
Yes.
Have you ever met people that instead of changing that, they are trying to cope with it?
Yeah.
Instead of changing the problem, they're trying to cope with it.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to be delivered,
yes,
y'all with me?
Yeah.
They're trying to balance it.
My God.
Instead of trying to get rid of it in their life, they're trying to cover it up in their life.
My God.
The
My God.
Devil has convinced you that there's no way for you to change. Look how many times you said you would and you didn't. Look how many times you cried, went to the altar, only to find yourself right back in the same situation again. Look how many times you told God, if you bring me out of this, only if you find yourself back doing the same thing all over again. There is a hopelessness that exists in Judah. And when God realizes that his children have become hopeless in the possibility of change, he says to Jeremiah, watch God.
Yes.
I need to show you something, Jeremiah.
Yes.
Meet me at the potter's house.
Yes.
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 Jeremiah goes down to the home of a potter.
Yes.
And when he walks in, cuz, the man is making something on the pottery wheel.
Yes.
And it is in his hands.
Yes.
Can I make my foundation here?
Yes.
The pottery is in his hand.
Yes.
The Bible says that Jeremiah notices that whatever the man is making is marred.
Yes.
It has some flaws in it.
Right.
It has not turned out as it should.
Uh-huh.
This potter who has his hands on this clay, the Bible says when he noticed that it is marred, So he made it again.
Again.
I need to highlight the word again for you.
Uh-huh.
Let me highlight the word again. Can Pastor teach it?
Yes.
There are two meanings for this word in the Hebrew. Uh-huh. One means to recreate.
Uh-huh.
The other means to repair.
Uh-huh.
Stay with me now. The word again shows up in verse 4.
Yes.
It's not the word recreate, but it's the word repair.
Repair.
So the potter has clay that is marred in his hands.
Yes.
And he sees that it is not what it should be.
Yes.
He doesn't have to recreate it. All he has to do is repair it.
Yes.
For those of you that have not figured out the difference between a recreation and a repair, it's simple.
Yes.
The level of effort it takes on behalf of the one who's doing the work to change what he needs to be changed.
Yeah, yeah.
So the emphasis is on the potter. Looks at what to Jeremiah and says, listen, all I got to do is repair this thing.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Just a tune-up.
Yeah.
Just a little fixing.
Yeah.
What looks like a major thing,
uh-huh,
it's not a major thing,
yeah,
for me.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
All I need to do is tweak it a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah.
All I have to do is put my hand on it.
Yeah.
Even though it looks bad,
yes,
to you, it's nothing bad to God.
Yes.
I can repair it, watch this, Sister Brillo,
yes, sir,
because it's not a major thing for God.
Yes.
Here's why you need to hold on to that.
Thank you.
The devil has a way,
yes,
of making you believe,
yes,
all hope is gone.
Yes. Yes.
The devil has a way, yes, of making you think that there are no other chances, that you have messed up so bad, that the rest of your life, you should be hopeless. Your mistake will haunt you for the rest of your day. The devil's a lie. He wants to make you think that you will be defined from this moment on by what you just came through. God told me to tell you, if it was left up to you, yeah, you would have to recreate it. He said, but if you allow me to keep my hand on it, it just takes a touch of the Lord, Sister Finn, to fix what is broke down, to change what looks hopeless and unchangeable.
Yes.
In the hands of a God, nothing is impossible. God said, okay, no matter how bad it has gotten, no matter how ugly it looks, no matter how much it hurts you, God said, if you let me keep my hand on it and work my work on it, give me time to make it again another, I'm able to fix what hurts you. I'm able to heal what hurts you. I'm able to change what is convicting you. Heal that which is holding you back. All you have to do is let God keep his hand on you. There are some witnesses in here that when you really turn it over to the hand of God, check this out, Sister Martha, Sister Thomas, God can work miracles in your life when you really hand it over to him. When you trust God with everything, God will turn it into the best thing you ever have seen in your life. If you allow God to put his hand on it, God can take ugly and turn it to beautiful. God can take sin and turn it to salvation. God can take a habit and bring deliverance out of a habit. God can take what used to drag you down and use it to lift you up. God will take your hands and make them your elevators. Can I get a witness out of here? Stay with me, saints. This means while the potter has his hands on some dirty, broken clay, he does just, watch this now, stay with me, he just doesn't see the clay as marred. He has a vision in his mind of what it ought to look like. While it's all messed up. You hear me? Only God can do this. So while he's working with that which is broken, he also has an envisionment of what it will look like when he is done. So God is able, watch the potter. He's able to balance what is broken and what he knows it is capable of being. He makes him different from it. That makes God different from everyone else. Everyone else only sees what is marred. When he sees the vision he has in his mind. Of what we can be. What it should be, what it could be. What makes God? God is yes. God said he sees my brokenness. He knows I'm sinful. Yes, he knows I'm full of iniquity. But God also knows my possibility. He also knows my potential. God also knows what he has created me to be and created me to do in my mother's womb. He knew what I was supposed to be. God will not give up. He will keep his hands on what he has vision on. Don't hear me? The reason why God hasn't taken his hand off some stuff, because he's just not done with it yet. So here's what makes God. Here's what makes him such a phenomenal potter. The potter says, you came down to the potter's house. You need to know, I will need you to know, the potter said, I need to let y'all know something. I've been dealing with clay a long time. This is not the first marred clay I've had to deal with. You are not the first broken life that God has put back together. You are not the first broken life that God has put back together. You are not the first person with a hang up that God can deliver. You are not the first person to go through a storm you are going through. The devil has a way of convincing you that you are the only one that has ever walked in those shoes. You ain't special. What you going through, someone else that went through it and came through it. The Lord sent me by this morning to let you know God has been handling your problem a long time. Y'all hearing me? Encourage yourself. God's been having the problem a long time. It may seem new to you, but ain't nothing new to God. God has been delivering saints like you a long time. God's been healing that sickness a long time. Look, let me tell you why this is such a good word. God said, listen, when I put my hand on clay, I know it was going to be dirty because I put my hand on it. I know it's going to be a dirty job when I touch you. I know you are messy. Y'all ain't hearing me.
Go ahead.
That's why I put my hand on you. I knew you wouldn't be perfect. I knew someone else wanted a hand and give you up. That's why I put my hand on you. I know you wouldn't be perfect, but I've still got my hands on you. What's that? Because you know why? Watch this now. Look, this is a good word right here. You know why God got his hand on Sister Phil? Because our God is a patient God.
Thank you, Lord.
We serve a patient God. So often in our church cliches, we emphasize, you ought to just wait on the Lord. And be of good courage. They that wait on the Lord, they say, shall renew their strength. Oh, here goes another one. He may not come when you want but he's always on time. None of those church cliches. Well, we talk about us waiting on God. But here's the real good news. God will wait on you. God will wait on you. It is never too late to come to God. To let God put his hands on your neck. God will wait on you. I ain't got long to preach this day and today. I'm just about done. Because guess what? It done got good to me. You ain't got it now, you ain't gonna stop coming about it. Because let me let you know this right here. God said that as long as you allow your mess to stay in my hand, all you got to do, he said, I'm not even asking you to hang on to me. Just allow me to hang on to you. Allow me to keep my hands on you. If you allow me to keep my hands on you, he said, you need to shake off and let aside every weight and sin that so easily besets you. He said that. Look to my word and put aside some characteristics that prevents the trying to snatch you off of my wheel. healed. He said, I know sometimes my hand gets heavy, but my hand got to get heavy to work the bumps and the bruises and the cracks out of your mess. He said,
yeah, I got to go. I kept y'all long enough. All right, check this out. Can I kill a star if I go cuss? Let me illustrate this irrefutable fact. I'm used to flying, y'all. Don't took me a lot of plane flights, especially when I was in the military. But when I make a flight and I go somewhere, I hate that connecting stuff. I don't like to connect. No, don't make me no connecting flights. I want a one-way trip. Because why I don't like those connecting flights is it's a problem with that. Those connecting flights, I just like, because every time I get on one gate, I got to travel so far to get to the other gate. And you know, the plane always be late, and now I got to make it. But see, I'm like my daddy. He said, there's only two categories for baggage.
That's right.
Lost and found. So the first, I like to carry everything. I got one bag. I got everything carried on. Y'all feeling me? So I'm carrying everything on the plane. So when I get off, and now you got one connected flight. Now I got to make it and way down to the next terminal. And I can see in the distance. The light is flashing. Boarding now.
Yeah, come on.
What do you mean boarding now? I just got off this flight. So now, Larry, some people might be over it. Now I gotta make it like O.J. Simpson through the airport. And make it from one gate to the other gate. And I only got a few minutes, and it says boarding now. So I'm waiting there. I make it there. And I get there finally, Sister Amy. I'm sweating. I'm out of breath. And the sign on the door said, close. I got my baggage, and I'm 38 hot.
Yes.
And I'm not going to say some of the words I'm trying to say. But I get there. And I walk in, they say, close. Flight closed. But someone say, you signed your clock? I say, hey, yeah. They say, we've been waiting on you. I say, but the door say closed. They say, no. We knew you had a long journey to travel. We know you had a long way to come. But we know you were coming. So we waited on you. You ain't missed nothing. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. Wait, just keep moving, keep moving. And God said, I've been waiting on you to get here a long time. With all your baggage, I've been waiting on you. Why? God won't take his hand off. God said, I see you coming. I see you coming. I know you're on the way. And I said, you're going to make it after a while.
Yes, sir.
Y'all hear me?
Yes.
Hold on, Amy, just a little while. Don't give up the fight. Don't give up the fight. Why? God won't take his hand off you. Give God a hand up for you.